Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to The Bigger Picture with myself and my excellent co-host, Michael Rakia. If you're not familiar with Michael's work, please get over to josephspeaks.com. And I'm going to start the show with a disclaimer, okay? Sometimes you guys send in questions that can't be answered. There are no answers. There's no time to go into all of that, especially dealing with the collapse of the field right now. So if you do have personal questions like that, you're always free to send them to me. If I can answer them, great. But there's just too many. There's just not enough time to cover everything on the show. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Maria. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I hope you didn't mind my throwing in that little disclaimer.
No, not at all. Not at all.
You know, I mean, I know people, you know,
I
know people count on us to know everything, and it's impossible to know everything. At least, you know, using the small part of our brain that we are allowed to use while we're here.
And also, there's only a certain amount of time for communication. I mean, there's an urgency with Joseph in that he comes through whilst I'm in trance. He delivers his chapter on whatever he wants to speak about, whole cloth, and then he will ask for three short questions as the energy fades, and that's it.
Right.
And that's because they've got to punch a hole literally in the field to get to me, they've got to connect to me, and then they've got to deliver what they consider to be important out of all the topics that they could talk about. They deliver the topics that they think are most important and relevant to the change that needs to come about. So there's only a small window of opportunity.
Well,
and as we've been discussing before the show, Maria, as we get ever so slightly older, that window of opportunity is harder to keep open because we have less energy as the field encroaches on our physical bodies.
Right, exactly. Well, at least Joseph takes three questions. I was watching the president. I was watching the president yesterday at a ridiculous press conference, and he only took one question. So, listen, if you don't laugh while you're on this planet, man, this planet will eat you up alive.
Absolutely. We have to see the funny side.
Yeah, I mean, what does Joseph say about having a sense of humor?
That is extremely important. And all the guides that support Joseph and all the guides that I've been in touch with for years all have a rich sense of humor. You know, no matter how highly they evolved they are, how much light they put out, they see the funny side. And I think there's a feeling generally that there must be a reverence from the guides and a reverence from us to the guides. But it's nice to be able to treat them as, I don't want to say human beings, because they're not human anymore. They are the spirits that they originally were.
Right.
But as colleagues who can share a joke and can come through to cheer you up and see the funny side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what they are. And that's very reassuring, isn't it?
Absolutely. Listen, a few times when people were channeling to me, they all pick up the same name for me in spirit. They call me the Cosmic Comedian. And even my listeners, when I'm doing the horrific news, will say, you know, you have me laughing my ass off listening to you get out the news. Listen, if I don't temper it with humor, I don't know. I don't think anybody would want to stay on this planet.
No. The humor is healing. Having a sense of humor and seeing things as ridiculous and laughing at them is a healing process. It makes us feel better, and it makes us better, literally.
Absolutely. Well, I must tell you that I'm feeling a lot better reading your latest book that you sent me, Many Voices, One Mission, Group Soul Wisdom from the Joseph Perspective. And, you know, just when I thought, well, I read all his other books, this is really going to be a lot of the material that was channeled. I am loving this book almost as much as Your Life After Death, which, as you know, is my personal favorite. So if there's always more to learn. But before we talk about some of the things in your book, because there's so much good stuff in it, I do have a few questions from Patricia, and I thought we would get to it.
Yes, I do.
She wants to know if you feel there's enough positive energy and light being put out into the universe to change the negative energy at this time.
I think the question is there enough positive energy being put into the earth and around the earth at the moment to change things?
Right.
The rest of the universe, from what we've discovered from the guides, and as far as they know, and again, this is back to the original topic we brought up of we can't know everything. The guides will always say, as far as we can see, as in as far as we can see into the universes that we are able to see into, as far as we can see back to the Godhead. And as far as they can see into the rest of the universe, our universe is plural, there is that correct balance of positive and negative energy. It's here as a result of the fall where things are skewed. And is there enough light? No. There will be enough light when enough of us join together. There's enough light to make a difference here and a difference there. But the whole point of the Joseph mission is to bring that information through that says you need to put out light daily. You need to surround yourself with light. You need to surround those you love with light. You need in particular to surround those that you don't love, don't like, can't get on with light. And you need to charge the planet with light too. And that's an endless supply. There is enough positive energy that we can take from the well, but we have to go to the well. We have to go to the heart center. We have to plug into the God within daily as often as we can. And we have to surround the situations and permeate the situations that cause us problems and are causing the planet problems with light constantly to create an atmosphere of light within which spirits, us, can see where we're going wrong and desire, and that's important, desire to put things right. People have to desire to put things right, not just realize that things are wrong. And the light that we send out gathers together and creates an atmosphere within which people can actually see what they're doing and can examine what they're doing and then make a decision to put things right. So is there enough positive energy to put things right? Yes. Have we transmitted enough energy to put things right yet? No. We have to see it as our sacred mission daily to send out the light, to join together, and to keep on going, to keep on going, and to keep going to that well, to keep drawing from that well of God energy and pouring it out into the planet. Then eventually there will be enough positive energy and things will change.
Well, that sounds good to me. The difference that I have when people ask me, and I've been advising my students, my clients, my friends, we need to actually do that more than once a day now.
Yes.
You know, once a day just doesn't cut it, even for myself. I must do it for myself at least 3 or 4 times a day. Just that protection, that light, that love, because it just seems like we're all under attack.
Yes. We have to come to the point where our life is a prayer. Our life is a connection permanently to the light. And it's difficult at first because we have to think consciously of putting the light into a situation. But after we've been doing that for some time, it becomes second nature. And that's what, as you quite rightly say, we need to do at this time, to make putting light into every situation, sending light towards every person, sending light out into the planet, that has to become second nature so that we are constantly channeling light out into the world and to each other. But we do, our vibration changes as we begin to send light out. We become a light, we become a beacon, and we are able to be used even in those times when we are not consciously sending out the light.
Right.
Because that light signature that we create by sending out light links not only to similar lights around this planet, to similar people who are sending out the light around this planet, but also links to those in higher vibrations who are seeking to change things through us. So So they are able to use that light signature, that lighter vibration that we've created by sending out the light constantly to help when we're asleep,
right,
when we're watching television, when right, we're walking down the street, when we're not consciously sending out light, because we've elevated ourselves by putting in the homework in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because, as you know, I studied the medicine wheel with Sun Bear when he was alive. And yes, at the beginning of our studies, he says, you have to work and learn the medicine wheel until you become a medicine wheel. And, you know, of course, the medicine wheel is all about the light and our interconnectedness and interdependence on everything. So I totally understand what you're saying, that we have to actually become the light. Now, because I've been reading your new book and there's some things in there that are pretty mind blowing. One that made me think for a very long time, but I do have one more question from Pat before we get to it. And I'm still thinking about it, by the way. But here's an interesting question, and I've never heard this before, so this might be new to you too. She says, what does Michael think about the fact that some people say a person who does trans-channeling has the potential of having their DNA changed from the spirit that channels through them? And if you've ever felt that yourself, that your DNA has changed because of your trans-channeling.
I certainly feel that my physicality has changed and become more sensitive, and not necessarily in a good way, over the years that I've channeled Joseph, in that I have become gluten intolerant. And so one of my favorite pastimes ever was eating. I mean, I'm half Italian, and to have a pizza and to have pasta, mm-hmm, and that type of thing was fantastic for me. But I became breathless. I had palpitations. I would go dizzy. I felt like I was dying. And it turned out to be gluten intolerance. And it is as though, as my body has been used as part of a higher vibration over the years, it has become more sensitive to some of the heavier vibrations of the earth. So I've seen that change in myself.
Mm-hmm.
I've also seen a change in the way that I view things, that I am able to detach myself from my personality viewpoint more often than I could and see things with a higher viewpoint. And that is through linking to Joseph and through linking to his group soul. Whether that has actually physically changed my DNA, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I would guess that it's simply that I feel my earth body becoming heavier and my true self becoming lighter. And the connection between the two is more difficult to maintain as time goes on, as it is with us all. But I mean that consciously it is more difficult to maintain and to manage my energies, to manage my earthly energies, my spiritual energies, fine. But trying to integrate those with my physical body, particularly after a trance session, has become quite difficult. I know I talk about it in the books quite a lot and say it takes a great deal of time to recover.
Mm-hmm.
But as I'm getting older, that great deal of time to recover is becoming worse.
Right.
So. And it goes with the territory, as I'm sure you'll agree, Maria.
Oh, absolutely. I feel you, brother. But here, one Italian to the other, because we can never really totally give up pasta. Number one, this whole gluten thing is because they're putting so much more glue, which is what gluten is, in most products, especially here in America. But one of my smart Italian sisters said and treated me to, she had ordered me pasta from Italy that's made in Italy. And I had absolutely no problem with it.
Ah, right.
So you might want to import some, make sure it's the real, you know, semolina pasta from Italy.
Yes.
It's got to be made in Italy because they don't use gluten.
Ah, there's hope for me yet, Maria. That's very good news.
Hey, listen, the day I can't eat pasta is the day I might as well leave this planet. It's probably the only reason I got here.
I'm the same for me.
I remember years ago, my doctor said, listen, you're carbohydrate intolerant. If you don't want to be chunky, you're going to have to give up carbohydrates. And I looked at him and I said, are you kidding me? I'm Italian. So I'd rather stay fat. But of course, eventually I did give them up and I did lose the weight. Okay, so that pretty much takes care of that. Now, I have to tell you, like I started saying before, Michael, I'm always surprised. There's always so much more new in what you write, even though a lot of these transmissions are from 10, 20 years ago. Yeah. So I think this is just as important a book as any of your other books.
I think it certainly throws a light on the workings of a group soul. And it also throws a light on the amount of work that needs to be put into a mission such as the Joseph Communications. It shows that there are many, many different people involved in bringing this information through. It shows that we were prepared for the information, and it shows that they are of one mind in bringing through the light and in trying to change things here. I mean, it's all well and good to say, well, we've got, you know, seven books and they're all by Joseph, but you don't have a different perspective that backs that up.
Right.
But the unseen story is that from the time when the first book was coming through, mm-hmm. we were being prepared by many of the guides that have been around me for as long as I can remember. And they would drop into the conversation references to the fall. Mm-hmm. In fact, they actually had us sit in secret, privately, for a full weekend with five different spirit personalities coming through to talk about the fall in order to prepare us for the actual book that Joseph brought out.
Mm-hmm.
So it has been a tremendous mission, and we wanted for some time to be in a position to publish the lectures that we were given as preparation and support for the Joseph mission. And we finally, it's a great feeling, it's an hallelujah moment, we've finally been able to do that and to make them public, because we felt that they were extremely important and that people should see this material.
Right. Well, I would say that I'm at least four-fifths through the book. And again, I like to read your books right before I go to sleep, and that may or may not have been a good idea this past week. But when I'm reading this book, all your other books make more sense. I don't know if that makes sense to you, what I just said.
Yes, it does, because you have the background. When Joseph is coming through, you get Joseph's information, but you don't know where he came from. You don't know how the journey was undertaken so that Joseph became the spokesperson for the group soul. And that there are insights from the other guides that totally fit in with what Joseph is saying, what Joseph was about to say at various points during the delivery of the communications.
Right, so it's like...
I think it's a very important background book, but also a book in its own right if you haven't read anything by spirit guides.
Right, exactly.
And want further insight... other than everything's going to be all right, which of course it isn't, unless we change things.
Right.
So I think it's important. And it also shows the humanity of the guides as well. I mean, there's a lot of personal stuff in the book, and that was included by the guides, and this is the way that we communicate with them.
Mm.
They will talk to me, they will deliver their message, but they'll also deliver personal messages for us. And if there's something funny, they'll laugh about it. If there's something sad, they'll be upset about it or angry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we fortunately, because I've known these people for decades, in fact, longer than that on a spiritual level,
mm-hmm.
I'm able to put into the book background information. So you can say, oh, this person was you know, such a body, and they lived in such a place, and this was what their life was about. So it's actually fascinated us, because we've sat on the information for so long because we've had to keep putting, you know, further books out.
Right.
It's great to be able to read it and say, yes, it's out.
Right.
It's out.
Absolutely. Well, we also get to hear your story, you know, how you and Jane got together, how the band Alive got together. And I could see your humanness in your story, you know, right at the beginning of the book. That you felt that because of your work, you weren't destined to have a relationship in this lifetime. And
absolutely.
I see so many similarities, because for me, I've had plenty of relationships, but then there came a point in my work where there hasn't been one, and there hasn't been one for a long time. It's like I'm living for my work. So maybe you were better off, you know, getting your younger years to get your work together and then your relationship. But the similarities are interesting to me. Not just that, but a lot of these guides are very familiar to me. and very similar to some of the guides I know I have.
Yes.
So I'm going to take a wild guess and say we're both members of the same soul group.
Yes, which is a vast concern. That overarching story of the soul group, I think, is very important, because we've had people ask on our show, haven't we, about soul groups.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very rewarding to know that as we progress through the spiritual spheres, mm-hmm. we grow closer together. We're not absorbed one into the other. We are still individuals, but we unify in purpose. We unify in harmony. And you know what it's like, Marie, if you have a very good friend over and you think, that was such a satisfying evening or mm-hmm. such a satisfying lunch, because you revel in the other person, in their personality, in what they bring to your life. Now imagine what that is like, enhanced and multiplied by millions of souls,
mm-hmm.
so that every soul in your soul group is a close relative, closer than some of the earthly relatives we have.
Oh, yeah.
And every soul in your group has an important story to tell and something important to add to the mix, and you never tire of listening to them. You never tire of visiting them, although you can be by yourself or with whom you want to be with, whenever you want to, and then go back to the soul group. And even more important, you can connect to those souls. You can experience their life experiences, and you can also join together with them to create. And that's a wonderful thing. We create here singly, don't we? And, mm-hmm. Or we join together in groups. For example, the Band of Light, there are four of us that sit to raise the vibrations, because we're sitting together to allow Joseph to come through. And they come through having modified their vibrations to connect.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine what it's like to gather together with millions of souls and to pool that creative ability to actually create the landscape that you're in, to actually create the type of buildings that you live in, to actually create the surface of the sphere that you live in, to create beautiful objects of art and then to pop them away again into the ether so that they're not polluting anything. But to bring them back, to be able to bring them back whenever you want to experience them again.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful, wonderful experience that lies ahead for us.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we're connected in that way now, but we just don't realize it.
Right. Well, you know, I wanted to ask you, I know you're lucky enough not to have to cover the news. So that's another thing I'll be kicking my own butt for when I get back into spirit. But news worldwide, especially here in America, is this soul group of 17 to 18 year old kids who want to change everything on this planet. Do you see them as a soul group or a special soul group?
Are they? They're in the news, Maria. Are they? They're saying that they're a soul group.
They don't say they're a soul group, but to me, when I look at them, I mean, we had a million kids protest for better gun laws in this country. At the same time,
yes.
They were protesting. The kids were protesting in Russia. They were protesting in Israel. I have always anticipated this soul group that would come in, volunteer to come in to fix the mess that we have here. So when I look at these kids, which, by the way, are getting demonized by a lot of people, I see them as a spectacular soul group.
Yes, yes. And we need the numbers. They need to be able to support each other. So you're probably quite right. They will have connected before, and they're young. They're not polluted by the field to the extent that we are as we get older. And they should be encouraged. They should be held up as an example of what to do, not what not to do. And yes, there are spirits that are coming in, and aren't they brave? Aren't they brave to come into this particular lunatic asylum?
Right,
to
super
try
brave.
To put things straight.
Right, I think they're beyond
they should be
brave.
And we should pray for them.
I do, and believe me, I just look at these kids and I say, this is who I've been waiting for my whole life.
Yes.
I'm sure you've heard that expression, we're the ones we've been waiting for.
Yes.
And when I look at these kids, you know, when I started teaching, you know, almost 40 years ago, I knew that there was this special generation coming in. And every generation, I got disappointed. No, this isn't it. No, this isn't it. No, this isn't it. But so far, this has given me more positive feelings than I've had since the baby boomers were out in the streets protesting.
Oh, that's excellent. I hope that their parents and their relatives recognize that those children are special and create an environment within which they can grow and continue to evolve spiritually, can continue to connect to who they really are and bring through that power and that light.
Right.
And we've gone through a couple of generations where it was looked at as evil if somebody saw something, if a child saw something that was beyond normal reality, a reality in inverted commas. It was looked at as, we've got to get this out of you. This is wrong. You've got to take your place in society. Well, it's time to change society, and it's time to encourage those children, if they are psychically gifted as well as spiritually gifted, to bring through their guides, to talk to their guides, to treat that as being normal. Mm-hmm. Then they can deliver something of worth to the rest of mankind during their lives here on Earth.
Right. Well, you know, I work with parents and grandparents of these children, and I work, you know, every now and then with these children. And I basically do encourage them to, you know, they pick obviously the right parents and the right grandparents if they connect the kid to me. But, you know, I always encourage their teachings. And actually this week I recommended to a 15-year-old that she read all the books on your site because she needs that background information to be truly effective with her gifts.
Yes. I don't know what it's like there, Maria, but there's a dearth here of people who are capable of teaching the next generation of spiritually visioned people. For example, the spiritualist churches here do not provide any form of solid, disciplined development for their fledgling mediums. It doesn't happen as it used to, and I think that's another sign of what dire straits we find ourselves.
Right. Well, I often recommend these kids find a spiritualist group because they do have great learning techniques.
Yes.
But, you know, yes. I've been teaching this for so many years, I can always refer specific books to these kids or whatever, or if they are welcome to always come and study with me. Anyway, let's get back to the book because this, I didn't expect to talk about these two topics with you because I like to do your books in order, but I can't help it because two things really stick out at me and I can't get past it. I don't remember which guide it was that said it, but he says you're always in two places at the same time.
Yes.
And that was one of those things that make you put the book down and think for several days about what you just read.
Yes, yeah, because if we think about it, we are. I mean, on a physical level, as we say we're in a meeting, we're sat there in the meeting, and our mind is somewhere else. We're thinking about the holiday we had last year, or we're thinking forward to something we're going to do next year, or we're returning home and seeing that everything's safe at home, or we're worrying about someone. We are not in our physical body. We have placed ourselves somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But we're also, we have a spiritual mind. So whilst we appear to be connected to this reality and this reality only, we have a greater self, a greater mind that is connected to all eternity, to all infinity, and has a place in the group soul that we are a part of, and has a place in the journey through the spiritual spheres that we are journeying through as souls to get back into infinity, to move out into eternity and then into infinity. And so we're never just seated where we think we are. Our physical body is just a gathering point of information on this level, as is our physical mind. Our spiritual mind can be somewhere and anywhere else. How often do we see people who are on their deathbed and their relatives half a world away are visited by them?
Right.
And they see them looking great and solid and seemingly in the flesh, but they have traveled there in their spiritual guise to say goodbye before they go on. So they're in a hospital bed. And they're also visiting relatives and saying, I'm on my way now. Isn't it great?
Right.
So we're constantly traveling on a spiritual and mental level. We're not where we appear to be. And that makes it easier, I think, to meditate, because we can then project ourselves into the visualizations that we surround ourselves with during meditation to effectively get away from the physical body and away from the physical mind to receive healing and to receive the energy and the information we need mm-hmm. to put the best into our days for ourselves and for other people.
Well, yeah, the other way I looked at that, being in two places in my own meditation, what I realized for me is that part of me is here and most of me is in spirit or somewhere else.
Yes.
And I would think that if it wasn't the case, I'd have been dead a long time ago. So
yes.
It's just something to yes. really think about. And this book will give people pause if they take the time to really read what they're reading. I do have a Lollapalooza of one that we're going to come back with from break. So stay with me, Michael. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Maria. I don't often get to talk directly to the listeners here on the Gary Noll Network, but I felt like doing that today. I know a lot of you really enjoy my show, but you might not know that I do 4 shows a week over at my website, maria.net. So if you're loving the show you get to hear on Sunday, come on over to my site and subscribe, because I've got hundreds of hours of great shows on pretty much every topic in the universe. And that again is maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. And now we can get back to this excellent show. Thanks. Hi, Maria here, and I have a message due to the pressure of the times we're living in. I'm calling on all students and millennials to get the education they need to fight the fascism taking over our world. I've made a special subscription offer for students and for seniors on a limited budget. For just $9.99 a month, you can subscribe and get that education. Over 500 hours of real education that's necessary to understand the world, the problems, and the solutions. Remember, knowledge is power. Together, you can change the world, but to do so, you must be informed of what's really going on and have real facts to support you in your endeavors. It's time for all the grandmothers to take a stand and teach the younger generation what their life could be and how to get there. Help me help you. One person cannot do it alone, and the guidance you seek is right here at www.maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. Your generation is the generation we've been waiting for, so let me help you. Thanks for listening. Okay, welcome back to The Bigger Picture with myself and Michael Rakia. Get over to the website, josephspeaks.com. All his books are great. It's the spiritual library you need to have. But we're talking about Many Voices, One Mission, his latest book. But I know you have another one right behind this, right?
Yes, indeed. We're working on The Spaces Between. And Jane and myself got away for a couple of days over Easter and expected to have a peaceful time, but that's never the case. And one of the key personalities from Many Voices, One Mission, a gentleman who has been with me since before my birth, came through and said, look, it is imperative that you bring through the rest of The Spaces Between this year. We need to get it published. We need to get it out there. It needs to address the situations in the world at the moment. So no pressure there.
Right.
we're about halfway through. We have 11 chapters. But because we've also brought out Many Voices, One Mission, which is a huge book, of course, it's nearly 500 pages, that's taken, of necessity, a few months of our time to get to the printers, to get assembled, collated, and out to the printers. So we begin again with The Spaces Between in April, and by hook or by crook, unless I shuttle off this mortal coil, we will have that ready by the end of the year. We'll have it through by the end of the year.
Mm, great. Well, I'll be looking forward to that one, too. I'll have this book finished probably by the end of the week. One of the other things that really stood out to me, and when it stands out to me, I'm like, okay, I guess we're not going in order here. You have under the chapter Spiritual Living, Visiting Mandarin Guide, The Concept of Heaven. This was channeled to you in May of 2008.
Yes.
And after I read this, I realized that there's absolutely nothing wrong with me. You know,
yeah.
When he talks about accepting and loving all of yourself, he also talks about loving the positive and the negative, and that is balance. Because every now and then somebody will say to me, oh, you're a spiritual teacher, but you get so angry at this or that, or, you know, why are you covering politics? And I constantly keep telling people I'm no angel and this is what I do, okay? But I always thought it was an Italian thing. But reading this really makes you understand that there really isn't anything wrong with us accepting all parts of ourselves.
Yes, we have to love all parts of ourselves. The same guide, if I'm correct, in, because there are quite a few entries in there, of course, I think there are over 40, is saying that you cannot expunge part of yourself. You cannot expel part of yourself. And this is where a lot of the religions, bless them, go wrong. They say, this part of you is fine. That part of you isn't. Get rid of it. Right. That's not the way to get rid of it. Trying to suppress part of yourself that you consider to be negative and harmful only enhances it, only makes it more powerful, only makes it the most powerful voice in your mind to the point where you can't resist it. The way to approach yourself is to say, well, I do this and I do that. I'm happy with this. I might not be so happy with that, but it's all part of me. So I embrace it. I put my love around all aspects of myself. In my meditation, I treat myself to the light. I bathe myself in the light. I immerse myself in the light. Those aspects of myself that I find positive and those aspects of myself that I think are negative. And in bathing those all aspects of yourself in the light, then you can come to terms with them. Then you can adjust. Then you can say, you know, I don't need this attitude anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't need to do this anymore. I see that this has caused me some pain, so I don't want to do it anymore. But we're not getting rid of part of ourselves. We are embracing every part of ourselves into ourselves, embracing it in light, and then being able to examine the way that we wish to proceed, not as a spirit that's got things wrong or got things right, but as a spirit that wants to evolve. We can examine how we want to proceed and make sound, balanced judgments based on that.
Right. So would you say that we here in the physical body are a composite of everything and everybody we've ever been?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So to discount one of your traits.
Joseph's view on karma, he says, look, if you decide to reincarnate, you have a magnetic quality to your physical body that is based on what has happened to you before. That's the nature of your physical body when you go back into the earth plane. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that magnetic quality, you bring towards yourself, by harmonic resonance, those aspects of your past lives that still need to be resolved. Now, you don't need to resolve them. If you haven't decided to reincarnate, you wouldn't need to resolve them. But because you've placed yourself in the lion's jaws, as it were, by reincarnating,
right,
you naturally attract those vibrations that are still layered within the history, the psychic, the spiritual, the physical history of this planet. And you draw them towards yourself inevitably. In other words, you make work for yourself by deciding to come in this direction rather than going on into the spirit spheres and moving through the spirit spheres and becoming more evolved as the angelic being that you truly are.
Right. Would it be okay with you if I read a little passage out of here?
Absolutely.
Okay. And this is on page 356. He says, I wish to tell mankind that you can never reach heaven by sloughing off a part of yourself. The aspect of yourself, the facets of your personality, are permanent. The good and the bad, as you would measure things on Earth, are permanent because their facets are different screens that show different elements of what you are as a soul. And you can never trim off anything from your soul. That was one that, again, I put the book down and I went into la-la land. I said, all right, let me really think on this one. Because... you know, we are very complex beings. I know that I certainly am. Most people see me as an enigma inside an enigma. But I do love every part of myself. I like the angry part. I like the loving part. I like the funny part. To me, it's balance, you know, and I've always said it as a joke. You can't just go around giving people blessings all the time. Sometimes you got to throw out a curse just for balance. But that this chapter, for whatever reason, really, really spoke to me.
We do such damage to ourselves by trying to separate what we consider to be good about us from what we consider to be bad about us. You cannot do that. You are a complete, a holistic being. You can evolve, you can change your attitude, but you don't change your attitude by trying to push away a part of yourself. I think by doing that, you cause psychological problems. You cause problems as you get older because that might have been done to you or attempted to have been done to you in childhood. And you are taught that if you think in a certain way, you are a thoroughly bad lot. You are an evil person. That the way to change those aspects of yourself that you wish to change is to love them, better, to see clearly. The love that you put into yourself, into all aspects of yourself, allows you to see clearly. And then it is up to you to make decisions as to how you act or how you don't act. It's your universe. It's your world within yourself. You are your own universe. And you decide. You can't cut off this star system or half of this planet from your universe. You embrace the whole and you accept yourself for what you are, an evolving spirit, an evolving angel, deserving of love. And as you feel that you are more deserving of love and love yourself, you are able to give more love, more light out to others and help them on their journey to discover who they really are.
Right. Well, I will tell you, you have a mantra. I'm going to call it a mantra in this chapter that I am going to read on air because I've never seen anyone say it and I've never seen it in print. And I think it's awesome. Okay, so here goes. What you have to say is, and everybody pay attention because this might really help you. I am a complete being, and within that complete being, there are positive charges and there are negative charges. I love the positive. I love the negative. I love myself. Michael, I got to tell you, I've never heard a spiritual teacher ever write something like that or say something like that.
Well, I'm glad we've been able to get that out.
Well, I mean, this is why I said it. There's so much new information in this book. One of the things, of course, that, you know, the book starts out with your story, which I found quite fascinating and amusing, by the way. But you talk about you and Jane as being twin souls. Now, I will tell you, there's a lot of times that people will ask me about their twin soul. And what I've known most of my journey is that it's very unusual for twin souls to take physical form at the same time. Doesn't
Absolutely.
Mean it doesn't happen, but it's very unusual. Generally, the one is out in spirit while one's in the body, kind of protecting the other one. But the story of how you and Jane came together as twin souls, and even as the book shows you, you and Jane are together even when you're off planet, was pretty amazing.
Yes, and one of the most remarkable things was that when we physically got together, when we met on this level, not spiritually, of course, because we knew each other on a spiritual level, instantly there was an increase in my ability to channel the information, much of which you will find in the book we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And for the best part of 4 years, day and night, when we were on holiday, when we were at home, when we were walking around a shopping center, we would get information from the guides. And they knew exactly what they were doing because as we've grown older, the energy that's available to us is less. So they used that meeting point as a time when they could get in and put across so much of what they wanted to get across with a view to it being made public. And it was phenomenal. It happened all the time. We used to take a recorder on holiday with us, and we didn't have a holiday. We would have one lecture, and then the next day we'd have another lecture, and then someone would come through in the middle of the night.
Right. And I saw that in the book. I was like, wow, these two don't get a moment's peace.
No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. It calmed down as we got older because we had to bring through the Joseph communications. And that has proved to be not difficult, but very challenging energy-wise, particularly as the years have gone by. But we knew that this information had to get out. And this information is from the Soul Group that we are a part of. And yes, it is unusual for both halves of a twin soul to come through. But such was the urgency and mm-hmm. the importance of the mission.
Right.
That had to happen.
I know, but I see so many people believe or try to convince themselves that the person they're with is their twin soul. I don't know why yes. that matters to so many people, or why they have to feel that person is a soulmate. If you get along together, there's your big clue, okay? There's a soulmate. Your mailman's a soulmate, or he wouldn't be delivering your mail. People want that, I don't know, maybe it's a romantic fantasy taught by the New Age, where I've always felt there was nothing new about the New Age. It just looked like another refuge for people that wouldn't get sucked into religions. It is, to me, it's like if it's good, it's good, and if it's bad, you end it. That's very simple.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, we were told right at the beginning, you have an incredible amount of work to do. And at every stage, it has been a matter of faith, because we brought the first book out, and of course, nobody knew it. We had no idea how that book was going to get out. We were told by the guides that it would get out. We had to have faith and we had to keep going. And of course, this has evolved into a situation where we're known worldwide, and increasingly people are becoming aware of the information. But all that has been as a result of working with God daily and working with our guides daily and saying, look, we don't know what we're doing, but you do, so off we go.
Right. Well, you know, back in the day, it doesn't happen as often anymore, but I could be out to lunch, I could be out to dinner, and some spirit will just jump in and want to start talking. And I'm like, not now, Cato, like in the...
Yes, indeed.
I'm like, not now, Cato, I'm having dinner, you know, come back later. You know, this is my life, okay? I'll talk to you when I have time for you. And it wasn't that they got insulted or never came back, but, you know, there is a way of saying, you know, I'm taking a break here, okay? It reminds me when I went to this haunted hotel in California, Hotel Del Coronado, and they had a new section and they had the old one, and it's famous for being haunted. And when I walked into the reception to sign in for a room, man, all I saw was spirits everywhere. I mean, the place was packed with spirits. And the kid asked me, do you want a room in the old part of the hotel or the new one? And I said, the new one. I'm not here to work. And I don't think he understood what I was saying. But I was like, yeah, I'm not going to be spending my few days off talking to all these dead people. It wasn't something that, you know, I didn't schedule that into my holiday.
Yes. And of course, that still happens when we go away. But the difference with the spirits that have spoken to us is that they are part of the mission.
Right.
So it's not a case of I'm stuck or will you please talk to my relative.
Right.
It's a case of here's a great spiritual truth that I want to share.
Exactly.
And I want to be able to make your audience and everyone on earth, as many people as will listen, as will read, aware of things in a different way.
Mm-hmm. You know. Right.
Each one of them has been so eloquent and so to the point in what they want to get across, which is, I feel, in my experience of spiritual literature, highly unusual.
Uh-huh. Right. Well, you know, you talk about so many things in here, and you give us such, to me, very colorful and descriptive visions of so many things that don't exist here but exist on different planes.
Yeah.
And one of them, because I'm such a book fanatic, was when you talked about circular libraries. I don't remember, you know, where you were or you know, whose house it was or whatever off planet. But I said, circular libraries. I need you to define that a little bit better for me.
Yes, the circular library belongs to my principal guiding influence. A gentleman we call the Persian gentleman. That's not his name. It's just our name for him because he lived in Persia in his last life. He's a complete gentleman, and it's a connection with him. He has the most magnificent courtyarded house that overlooks two different levels of vibration. And there's a tower in it. and you go up to the top of the tower, and the top room in the tower is a circular room. Now, out of the walls are covered in light. It's as though you've got wallpaper that is made out of light. But there are little sections in the walls, and out of those sections comes whatever book he wishes to bring out from the ether. The Persian gentleman loves books. He loves all books. He loves every book, for good or ill, that has ever been published. And he has built into his creative world, into his particular spiritual universe, every book that has ever been created available to him via the walls of this circular library. So he will take, he will put his hand through the wall, he will bring out whichever book he wants to bring out, he puts it on a table, he opens it up, and rather like Harry Potter, I was amazed when I saw the Harry Potter films,
right.
Rather like Harry Potter, the contents of that book then come out in a beam of light to eye level and play out and then fold themselves up and go back into the book. He puts the book back into the wall and it's gone again until he next wants it.
How fabulous is that?
Sorry?
I said, how fabulous is that?
It's absolutely amazing. He has an extraordinary, extraordinary domicile. But he's earned it through his work in past lives and his work now.
Well, that's another thing you cover in this book, is what you do here matters to where you go next and to what you're able even to create for yourself.
Yes, yes. It's far better to realize your spiritual abilities and to put those spiritual abilities to good use whilst you're here than have to discover them on the other side, as we've often said, which is one of the key themes of the Jaws of Communication, that we need to understand that we are going somewhere next and that we're putting the bricks in the wall of that next house, as it were, by what we've done today, what we're going to do tomorrow, and what we've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing we take with us is our experience, the sum of our experiences here, which determine our spiritual vibration, the vibration of our soul at the point at which we leave this physical earth. And that vibration harmonizes, can only harmonize, with a certain set of vibrations in the spiritual spheres. So the more refined our vibration as a result of our actions on Earth, the higher, in relative terms, we are able to go to when we pass over, when we pass on. Of course, the journey doesn't end then, because we begin to refine our vibrations further through work in the spiritual spheres.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes very good sense to elevate ourselves as much as we can so that we are aware of and recognize the places that we are able to go to when we pass over, which many people don't. And so they come back here.
Right,
who would want to it under current conditions?
Right, right. It would be like walking back into hell. Who would choose that? But, you know, it's interesting when you talk about the library and books. You know, people might be thinking to themselves, well, what does a spiritual person need books for if you're already a spirit and all-knowing, which we're never all-knowing, okay? But every movie and every new TV show that deals with the future, it's always after some post-apocalyptic thing and whatnot. And what's always the most valuable things when people, survivors, find them? It's always books.
Yes.
What's the most necessary thing? Even in this comedy I watch called The Last Man on Earth, it's just a handful of people who survive some virus or whatever. Then it's a comedy. But without books, because they have no computers, they've got no electricity, they wouldn't be able to even diagnose when they don't feel well. So books become a treasure.
Are manifestations of what the Persian gentleman has put into his life in the past and is deserving of, should he wish those objects, in his, what we would call his present. They are books that he pulls forth from that expansion of himself that he has surrounded himself by through successive generations and successive evolutions through the physical plane and through the spiritual plane. So they manifest to him as books, but they are a projection of the knowledge that he already has.
Right, almost like a hologram.
Yes, and he has the right to surround himself with the objects that make him feel comfortable, just as we do on this level. We are creative beings. We like to surround ourselves with certain landscapes and vistas so that we can appreciate them, be a part of them for a time, and grow through the experiences that they have to offer us. So we don't just float around as balls of light. We can do if we wish to.
Right.
We can appear as balls of light if we wish to, but we can also create around ourselves those things that comfort us and those things that allow us to relate to other spirits who are also creating their own universes, filled temporarily with the objects that make them feel secure too.
Right, right. Well, it's all good. And I can tell you, I have an off-planet place with a two-story walled library chock full of books. So there's a lot in this book that I'm absolutely relating to on so many levels. Michael, I have to tell you, this was a very quick hour. I'm looking forward to our next chit-chat.
As am I, Maria. Couldn't believe it's over so quickly.
I know. Well, they say time flies when you're having fun, and these shows are fun for me.
Indeed.
So I appreciate you. Give my love to Jane, and we'll talk soon.
We will indeed. You take good care of yourself, Maria.
You too, Michael.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. Check out Michael's work at josephspeaks.com. Make up your own mind. See what you resonate to and what you don't. But I'm enjoying the book, that's for sure. And we'll get more into it when we come back on the show together. Anyway, thanks for supporting the show. Let your friends know there's a whole lot more going on the Maria Heller Show than just the news, although the news is unbelievable. But hey, I guess I signed up for it, so I got to be okay with it. I love that part of me. Anyway, I'll see you guys. I'll see you guys on Thursday with the news. Don't forget, Friday I've got Stars R Us. We'll do the astrology for the month of April, and I'll talk to you guys then.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.